today's Soul Health, and Ron's asked me to share about something that's really personal to me, an experience that I've gone through that deals with my soul, my inner being, and what I've learned from it. And to be honest, it's not something I'm completely over the hill yet. It's still something I'm coming out of. So as I share, I just want you to know this is something meaningful to me, something that I'm processing. I know what I've got to do. I'm moving forward. Everything's okay. I don't want everyone to come up to me after the message and go, "It's going to be all right, Adrian. You're a great person. You've got a great calling on your life." I don't want sympathy. I want this message just to help people that might be going through something similar and to put some practices in your life that Ron basically covered last week. This is just sharing out of my own experience. So it's Soul Health, and I want to talk about my... I wasn't expecting an emotional part of this, but my experience with depression. Okay, it is coming. I wasn't expecting this. I don't know if you can tell. So the last 5 years, 6 years, Liz and I moved to Shell Harbour to plant a church. And in that whole experience, I went in with some expectations and hopes and dreams. And cut a long story short, nothing turned out the way I thought it would. And basically, what I allowed that to do was crush me on the inside. Basically, it just drained me of life and hope and dreams. And I came out of it feeling like a failure. Now, I know a lot of people know my story and have probably heard this before and know that I'm, you know, I've dealt with it, I'm dealing with it. I don't think I'm a failure. But just talking from my experience, that's how I processed it. That's what the effect was that was on my life out of this experience. We went in, we planted. I was going to show some photos, but I thought, no, I'm going to draw a picture, actually. And I thought, I don't want to get too multimedia and get too confusing. But I remember our first day, City Life Shell Harbour, as a public service. We met like a year before that in life group. And we had a great crowd of people there. It was awesome. Like, wow, I'm really going to do this. This thing's going to work. And then the next week, because there was a good bunch of people there, the next week, nobody turned up, which is actually typical of church plants. There's all the rah and excitement, enthusiasm for week one, and then week two, everyone forgets about it. And then it's just life. There's a church plant recently in Kiama. Liz and I decided to go to week two, not week one, because we know what it's like. So did others, and there were more people there, which was great. But basically, my expectations were growth, and this thing would expand, and we would effectively reach lost people, and things would progress and move forward. And as the years have gone on, I used to take a photo every week of our gathering, who we were, and I really liked that because it valued who was there, and it was special to me, it was a memory. But I stopped at 100 weeks because nothing was changing. Like, we had some new faces and some faces that weren't there anymore, but roughly it was like nothing seemed to be growing. And I'm like, okay, I don't really want to take any more photos. I love my people, but anyway, we kept going, we changed things, we tried doing church differently, and we became more of a faith community, which I think has been maybe the whole point of it, learning how to do faith community. And we changed, but in the whole process of it, it's like, I haven't watched it happen. Apparently when you put a frog in water and you boil the water, like they never jump out because they don't, I don't know, something to do with their senses and they end up just getting boiled. I thought we could do that as a little experiment today, but again, half the room would be like, awesome, let's do it. And the other half might not come back again. And I think that's what the experience I had with the church plant. It was just this slow boiling point, and got to the point where I'm like, okay, I'm now not in a great place. And I spoke to people, got help and everything. And can I just say, Ron has been an amazing blessing and help in my life. So I just want to thank you for that. And so this community, my church, has been a big part of that. But I want to talk about some practices that I've learned coming out of this that I think, because mental health's a big issue, a big talking point today, and I'm no expert, and I just want to say first up, if you are going through something like that, get help. get proper help, speak to people, and get yourself on the right path. But when it comes to me, I just want to talk about my journey, what I've learned, and hopefully that helps people today. And this is soul health, and I believe, like, depression is, it's a loss of hope. It's hopelessness. And that's something that happens inside of us. It's an inside thing, it's a soul thing. So, I was encouraged by Ron's whiteboard presentation last week, and I thought, hey, I can do the same thing. And so I want to use this just to help illustrate what I want to share today. So I'm going to draw a body here, and I'm a bit of a perfectionist, so I'm going to try and get this right. And I might rub things out to do it again, just to get it right. So far, I can deal with this. It's not too bad. Ooh, I'm gonna have to come back to that top half. Jump right. That foot's pretty good, but up here is not good. Okay, he's got a bit of a thing going on with that hand there. In the Bible, in Genesis, it talks about God creating man, a bit like that. And it says God created man out of the dust of the earth. And so he created a physical body, just this physical thing, but it was still just nothing. It was just there. It had no movement. It had no life. And the Bible says God breathed into him life. And some versions say, breathe into him life and breathe into him a soul. And so, I know Ron covered last week that there's lots of different points of view when it comes to the makeup of a person, whether it's body, soul, spirit, heart. I just want to think about it in two parts, similar to what Ron talked about last week, because I'm a simple man, and that's how I think of things. And so I believe there's an inside part of us, and there's an outside part of us. So I'm just going to put a dashed line down the middle here and say this side represents our soul, and this side, as I drew that, never mind, represents our body. There's a soul part of us and there's a body part of us. In 3 John 2, John's praying for some Christian people, and he says, I pray that all is going well with you as your soul is getting along well. I pray that you would be in good health as your soul is getting along well. And so our body and our soul are connected together. They work together. God breathed a soul into us. He breathed life into us. And there's two parts to us. So I want to talk about this side. I want to talk about this side of us and what I've learned and how I'm moving forward. And hopefully that helps people today. So if you've got your Bible, Psalm 42. It's kind of the key scripture, and I'll have a few more. Psalm 42 is a psalmist. I always thought it was David, but turns out it was not David who wrote this. It was the sons of Korah. They could have been representing David, but it could be anybody. But it says this, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with my God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. My soul, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So this psalmist, he's in a bad spot. And we know that as we read the Old Testament, we know the story of the Israelites and how there would be seasons where they'd be in captivity. They weren't living in their homeland. They were exiled and they were they were not living under the lordship of God, but they had a king, an evil king over them and oppressing them. And I think this psalm is coming out of an experience like this. And you can tell by the words he used that on the inside, this guy is crushed. He remembers a time where everything was great. And he used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. There was a great time that he remembers, but right now he is just downcast. So my first thought that comes out of this, and something that I've experienced, is that our soul needs replenishing. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God. I think our soul needs replenishing. We can tell here by how this psalmist is expressing his life right now that his soul is empty. He's just depleted on the inside. And I think for me and others, our soul's just not full. So if this is our soul, we're just not full. And there is a big part of us that's empty. And we need filling. I think there's lots of things in life that deplete us. There's people. There's some people that are just a bit draining. We know those people. There's other people that are just great to be around. There's work, the stresses of work, it's just draining. It just gets too much for us and it just sucks the life out of us. Then there's experiences that we might go through, whether it's a loss in the family or a relationship. Life is just depleting. And I believe we need to make sure God is replenishing our soul. He says, the psalmist says, my soul pants for you, God. I know there's lots of science and a lot of smart people that talk about our soul and our inside. But for me, I believe in this book. I obviously respect everyone that knows a lot more than me. But this is my book. This is like everything to me. And this is what I'm building my life on. And I'll take on board what others say. But to me, my soul needs God. And I think that's what our society lacks. And I think if we're struggling, perhaps, and I'll get to this other side, there's other things we can do, but perhaps it might just be a lack of God in our life. And we just need to fill ourselves with God. Now, when I come to my journey, when you start going down this path of feeling bad and downcast and depression starts to set in, there is nothing, no part of you that wants to go to God and get refilled. It's just this darkness that you're in, and you don't want to go anywhere to get filled. You feel trapped. And in fact, if it gets to a place where you just want to take up residence there, you just want to live there, you've accepted this is life and this is how it's going to be and this is where I'm going to stay. And I think it's a journey. It takes time and community and friends, but you realize your soul is empty and it just needs God. And just, you've got to find a way to connect with God and make sure he fills you. The Bible says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy us. But Jesus came to give us life and life to the full. What I'm interested in is I've always applied that scripture to life to the full is the outside stuff. It's the purpose. It's the activity. It's the career. It's the ministry. It's all this external stuff. It was this week that it hit me that he wants to fill my life, give me a life to the full on the inside, so that everything that happens on the outside doesn't control my soul and what I am on the inside. Jesus wants to give you life and life to the full. It says in Genesis that God breathed life and filled this man named Adam with life and gave him a soul, and he was a complete being. And we need to make sure that God is just breathing life into us day in and day out. Because as we live through life, it's going to deplete us. It's going to suck the life right out of us. There's going to be those people. There's going to be that work. There's just going to be those situations that just going to drain us of our soul. and leave us feeling empty and struggling on the inside. Stresses, it could be anything. What is it in your life that is just draining you? We need to make sure God is breathing life back inside in us. I've come to believe that Jesus coming to give us life and life to the full is not so much the external stuff, but it's more just filling us on the inside, a life to the full, where God fills us and breathes into us. So God breathed life into us. Does this look like a bit like wind? It's beautiful. God wants to breathe life into you. Bible says that, I think it's in Peter, sin wages war against our soul. It wages war against our soul. Sin is trying to deplete us, drag us away, destroy us. We can see in this situation that this psalmist, his life has been torn apart. He's been taken away from the temple, from the presence of God. No wonder his soul pants, because in the Old Testament, not everyone walked around with the presence of God in their life. It was in the temple and a select few of people that were anointed by God and given the Spirit of God. So if people wanted the Spirit, you've got to go to the temple. And these guys were under oppression and exiled somewhere and weren't near the temple. And so this guy was expressing, I'm just empty because I am not near the presence of God. I need God. My soul thirsts. My soul pants just for the presence of God. I need it in my life. Half of me is completely empty. We need God to breathe into us. He must breathe life into us and make us a full and complete person. And I've found in my experience that the whole church plant and being disappointed by the visible outcome, because I still believe God's done something and is doing something, is what Ron talked about last week, which was shame. Feeling just complete shame and failure as a leader, as a pastor, and made me feel like, you know, I've just wasted all that time. I've wasted my friends' time. By the way, Pat and Heidi have been with us the whole time. So quality people mean so much to you, which is why we bang on about community. Get yourself planted in a community because it makes all the difference. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. We need God to fill us. We need him to fill us. I was reading this quote by, I think his name's John Ortberg, a Christian author. And let me find it. He said this. He said, the soul is incredibly fragile. I haven't found it. I'm just going off memory at the moment. The soul is incredibly fragile, but also incredibly resilient when it's connected to a power beyond itself. And that is so true. We can be so resilient when we are full of God on the inside. It's amazing what we can face when God has filled us on the inside. No external thing, or there'll be a lot that comes up against us, but on the inside, we're just full of the Spirit of God. He is breathing life into us, and we are just complete in him. And it's amazing what we can face. I love when the Bible says, having done all, stand. Just keep standing. Why? Because we've got God on the inside. In Matthew, I think, it says, if you just stand, you will win in life. And we stand by God being on the inside of us. Not just going through the motions. Not just turning up on a Sunday thinking that's all it takes. But having an actual, real, communicating relationship with God. It's real and it's breathing and it's just life-changing. Someone out there needs a bit of God in their life right now. How cool is it? So we need replenishing. Our soul thirsts and our soul pants, and we need to make sure that God is the one that is replenishing us, and we're not going to other things to try and replenish us, because as the world tries to find other things to replenish them, they never, it's just not the answer. It doesn't work, okay? So let's go to God. My second thought is this. Our soul needs recreation. Now, apologies for all these words starting with R. I didn't want to go there. I couldn't stop it. I'm just wired that way and it happened, okay? So I tried my hardest not to do this, but it happened. Our soul needs recreation. It is said that our soul is the seat of our emotions, our intellect, and our will. And I was thinking about that and how our soul is the seat, so it carries the weight of all our emotions. How emotional can life be sometimes? Like, just intense. Particularly when it comes to family, relationships go crazy. And that is such a huge weight to carry. Our soul is the seat of our intellect. I don't know if you're like me, but I tend to overthink things and just have thoughts and thoughts and thoughts and thoughts. And that just, that gets heavy. Our soul is the seat of our will, our desires, our ability to choose. The way I see it is our responsibility. And there is lots of responsibility placed on us. When you become a parent, you're responsible for children. When you have a job, you're responsible to work and keep that job and do a great job. You're responsible as a follower of Jesus, as part of your community. You've just got responsibilities to look after, and that is something that our soul carries. So in short, our soul has got a lot to carry. It is carrying a lot of weight, and I believe our soul just needs a bit of recreation. If we work 5 days a week, looking at the typical job, and have a 2-day weekend, our soul needs the same thing. And what I've learned, and something that God brought into my life going through this whole process, which will come as no surprise to you guys, is photography. Getting out into nature, just getting involved with something that just took my mind off everything. And I can't express how much of a joy it was just to get wrapped up into that little world where I could just escape all that. Not so much escape, but just put down the weight of the emotions, the weight of all those thoughts, and the weight of the responsibility of what I was doing. Just to put that down and just give my soul a break. I don't believe our soul is meant to carry all that weight 24/7, 365 days a year. It just can't cope. And I was thinking about how, like, this phone or my Bible, it's not very heavy, but if I just try and carry it like this for the rest of my life, this phone is going to get incredibly heavy. In fact, it's not so much the phone getting heavier, it's my muscles just running out of energy to carry it. And it's thinking about what our soul is carrying. It's carrying all these emotions, everything that connected to our family and your desires in your heart and all these thoughts. Like, it carries so much. Just give your soul a break. Do something where it just doesn't have to carry that anymore and it has a bit of rest. And then when it comes back to Monday, you can pick that back up and keep going. Couples, you need to give each other a break. Just to find their own time to do something that just refreshes them so that we can come back together and keep going and doing what we're meant to do. Recreation is an activity done for enjoyment while away from work. Don't hold on to all this stuff and let it weigh you down. So in the Bible, when I look up the word soul, here are some words that are used in the same scripture. It says downcast, troubled, tormented. These are all like the negative words that come with the soul. Overwhelmed with sorrow, anguish, grief, weary. Man, our soul is carrying so much stuff. And I believe we just need to put down the weight that we carry. So over here, I'm going to draw, if I can remember how, just a little, not a little, like a little back here. Like this, and it's got another little pack. Ron might have carried something like this last week. He was away. There we go. Like, does that look like a backpack? It's amazing. We're not meant to carry the backpack of all of our emotions and our will, or I see it as responsibility, and thoughts and everything else that just our soul carries. Just give your soul a break. Some of the things that I love to do and I've found really helpful is, or Exercise used to be a great one, and well, still is. Exercise. There is nothing like exercise when you just get out and do something and use your body. I don't know how it all works, but somehow all those stresses just disappear. It's amazing. And like, I used to run home from work or ride home from work, and by the time I got home, there was nothing left of that day, that work day, that I was carrying anymore. It just disappeared. It's amazing what exercise can do to you. Are we getting good sleep? Are we making sure that our body is resting and getting the sleep that it needs? I was reading this week that sleep is a good reminder that we're a creature and not the creator. And I thought that's a good reminder that we're not Superman or Superwoman. We actually need to rest and give our body time just to settle and get energy back and just be ready for the next day. And I think our soul needs some rest as well. I love this scripture. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. This is where Jesus talks about, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." In the Message version, it uses a phrase called rhythms of grace. I really like that phrase because I think there's a rhythm to life that Jesus wants us to live out. Here's the thing. When Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are wearied and burdened, and I'll give you rest," he's not saying, "I'm going to take you on a holiday for the rest of your life, and life is just going to be super smooth and super sweet and awesome, and we'll just lay on the beach and just do that for the rest of our lives." I don't think that's the life that Jesus is calling us to when he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." I think he's calling us to a rhythm of grace, a rhythm in our life. He's showing them a pattern. I want to show you how to accomplish and how to serve God and how to do what he's leading you to do, but in a place of rest. And Jesus demonstrated that. It says in the Bible that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray and meet with God. He withdrew from ministry, from his work. He gave his soul just some rest. And when we read this scripture, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened," he's saying, "Listen, I'm not giving you a holiday. So just forget that idea. I'm showing you a pattern of life so that you can serve God and do it well and accomplish all that I've given to you in a way that you can live out for the rest of your life and it's not a burden to you and you're not going to burn out." Because burnout happens when we just lose all this and we're empty and we come to a place where there is just nothing left to draw on. We need the breath of God to fill us. I needed the breath of God. I still do. And rest, recreation, just time away from all the pressure and life. The last one, and I'll just say this quickly. I had a lot more to say, but that's fine. Is rehabilitation. When we go back to Psalm 42, it says, "For I will yet praise you, my Lord, my God." There is a time it takes to get back to a place of recovery. Get back to the condition that our body was intended to be in. It takes time. You've got to rehabilitate. You've got to get into this pattern of just meeting with God, connecting with God, letting him breathe life into you, and into a pattern of giving your soul rest, not trying to carry everything all of the time. It's just too heavy. It's not meant to be like that. And so I want to encourage you to make sure you give yourself time. And I heard one person say, talking about like a life under the influence of sin, the time it took you to form that as a habit and something normal in your life, at least allow the same amount of time to get over that and come out of that. You're not going to fix this thing overnight. Yes, we believe in miracles and God can do his thing, but I think we need to allow ourselves just time. It takes a long time to come down to a place of just a downcast soul. And we need to allow and believe, yes, God will bring us back to that place, but it is just going to take time. And that's what rehabilitation is. It's just taking time, just getting the body, the leg or whatever it might be, just into movement. So it's just slowly so that eventually you get back to a place where you've got full movement again, back to a place where your soul has got full movement again, where it can love again, where it can carry the things that it needs to carry against. So I just want to encourage you to get help. Amen.